Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I hope you had a great Labor Day weekend, and certainly was a nice, restful time. I'm about 70% of when I do shows on Labor Day. I usually do them over the last 12 years or so. I usually do the Labor Day show, but this time decided not to and just hung out with my family and actually took a day off, which I don't do very often. So that was wonderful. I hope you had a great weekend and Labor Day holiday. For all of our friends listening on Truth Radio down in Jacksonville and the Florida area down there in southern Georgia, we will be praying for you specifically after the show. For those of you that don't know, if you're just listening on the radio, which is awesome, and we praise the Lord for that, we're also on Facebook Live. So you, a couple places, get the show kind of on a tape delay. But we're always live Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time. So at the end of the show on Facebook Live with our friends on Facebook Live, we always have a time of prayer after the show is over. Today we'll be praying specifically for those that have already been affected by Hurricane Dorian, which has been horrible in the Bahamas and throughout that region, as well as anybody that's going to be affected continuing today because it's moving so slowly, but potentially up the East Coast and up into my neck of the woods here in North Carolina, and all kinds of trouble that can come as a result of the amount of rainfall. They're talking about that and storm surge and all those things. So we will be praying together for a couple minutes at the end of the show today on Facebook Live. So if you want to join us there, the Steve Noble Show is just the name of the Facebook page. You can go there and find it. Do that in the search box if you haven't liked the page before. And you could join us right here in the studio. And when you do, you'll see that our good friend David Fisher, who I have on the show today via Skype, you can actually see him on Facebook Live. He's right there live from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm here in Raleigh, North Carolina, wherever you guys are at. So that's the beauty of technology when it all works. And we praise the Lord that it's working today. David, how are you? How was your Labor Day?
I'm doing great. My Labor Day was wonderful, and I'm so glad I'm on your show today.
Well, before we dive into what's going on, we're going to do a full Money Monday. We got a lot to talk about in U.S.-China trade and everything going on there. Stocks are down today. The tariffs going into place. What's going on with stocks? What's going on with the Fed? What's going on with the gold market? So we have a lot to talk about today. But we want to praise the Lord because we've been in and out, and people have been prayerfully keeping you in mind ever since late last fall. We had some very, very, very serious issues, some health issues with your heart. But God's really done some amazing things. And when you called me last week and said, I need a minute to talk to you, I thought that was going to be a radio kind of business call, but it certainly wasn't. It was way better than that. It was an awesome praise call. So let's share that with everybody because it's so wonderful what the Lord has done.
So this really is a miracle in my life. And I want to thank all the listeners that prayed for me, and your prayers have been answered in a miraculous way. Just to put it in perspective, I had massive heart issues. I almost died three times back in November. When I went into the hospital and I was there for 12 days, my heart pump was only pumping at 10%. And normal for a man my age, I'm 58, is 50 to 60%. That's what normal is. So Steve, you're my heart, should be pumping at 50 to 60%. So they did surgery and a lot of tests, and I got a pacemaker implant put in, defibrillator, which doesn't help your heart pump more. And so they tested me out in January, February, and March, April, another one, and I plateaued at 24%. So in other words, the doctor said, all the studies have shown that you're not going to get any better. It's only going to be stabilized, and more than likely it's going to go downhill from here. And I looked on the internet. Bad thing to do when you have a health issue.
Oh, man, yeah, no kidding.
1 to 3 years is what the prognosis I would have to live without a transplant or a new artificial heart. So I had my pity party moment for a moment. Then I said, okay, I serve the God that healeth thee. And I started to put myself in the mode of connecting with the Lord even in a greater way. And people prayed. I just had the test last week. The number is 45%.
Man.
I am so close to having complete recovery. And they told me, people just do not do what just happened to you.
Right.
So this is a miracle today.
Yeah, so now they were all baffled, right? It's like, this just doesn't happen.
The technician is like, didn't know my story because he's a brand new technician. He just says, you're 45%. I said, wow. I thought if I said 25 to 30%, I would be very happy because I'm moving in the right direction.
Right, right.
So she says, is this normal? I said, I plateaued in January, February, and March. She said, okay, nobody, you know, hardly anybody ever gets better once they plateau. So this is like, wow, I've never seen this before. So it was a miracle.
Yeah, literally a miracle that totally outside the bounds of normality. And so when you see something that's not natural, it's supernatural. We just praise the Lord and give him all the praise and honor and glory for that. And that's such great news. Thanks.
Amen.
Thanks for sharing it on the air. And thanks for making a point to call me last week and allow me to be a part of that. That was a great celebration. It really was a great point of my week and a great point of the day. And we just praise the Lord for you, David, and all that God's done. That's so cool.
I couldn't hold back. The news was so overwhelmingly ecstatic, and I gave out a woohoo! Praise the Lord!
So cool, and we all need to pray with that kind of hope and authority, and we need to lean into that. What the Lord does is on His side of the table, but we should always be willing to approach the throne room with boldness, and we know God's love and His care and His power and His ability for us. We don't always know what His plan is, but we need to pray. Always pray boldly and always believe in knowing that in the end, God will work it all together for good for those of us who are called according to His purposes. So praise the Lord for that. So we haven't done this in a little while, and I was asking David earlier because he sent me over. He's got a brand new riddle, so a brand new riddle means another opportunity for somebody out there, if you're quick with the riddle and quick with the phone, to win something. But I was like, where are you coming up with these? And David writes these himself. This is really, really good. I don't know if you want to just say what people are going to win and how they're going to win it, and then either you can read it or I can read it. It's totally up to you.
I'll let you read it.
All right.
What they win is a brilliant uncirculated Morgan dollar, and this represents our country coming back together during post-Civil War times and having God under our nation, and so it's an exciting thing. As a side note, last time we did the riddle, our phones were jammed, and it spilled over to the answering service, and actually the winner was in the second half of the segment, so don't give up. Who knows when you're they're holding up one right now.
I've got one right here.
Exactly.
Yeah. So cool. All right. So we're up against a break. Now we got the technology worked out, so you can maybe hear that music in the background. That's our outro music. So coming up on a commercial break, when we come back, we'll share the riddle. We'll talk about some more about what you can win, the Morgan Silver Dollar, which is beautiful. If you're on Facebook Live, I'm holding one up for you right now. They're just beautiful, and it's got some history behind it. We'll do that, and then we'll get into the news of the day with David Fisher on a Full Money Monday. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, live with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com is always the website. LandmarkGold.com. Great contributor to the show every week. We do Money Monday updates, and then on the first Monday of the month, in this case it happened to be Labor Day, so we're doing it on Tuesday, we do a full Money Monday show. We talk about a lot of different things. Jesus talked a lot about money and possessions. It's all over both the Old Testament and the New Testament, and because God talked about it regularly because He knows the condition of our hearts, that's why we talk about it, so that we can be as good a stewards as possible with whatever resources the Lord has entrusted into our care, custody, and control. So we do the update. So next Monday, we'll do an update, the last segment of the show. But once a month, we do a full show, and that's what we're doing today. So we've got a lot to talk about, but let's go right back through it because I want to get to this giveaway and the riddle. So we've got a Morgan, a silver dollar. It's actually worth about $32. It's brilliant, uncirculated, just a beautiful coin back in the day when coins used to be worth something. And so you're going to give one away. First caller with the correct answer for the riddle. Is that right?
Correct. First caller with the correct answer.
The absolute correct answer. Right.
Show. So.
Right. It might not be you got to get the correct answer. Okay. The exact correct answer. Can't be in the ballpark. That only close counts in hand grenades and horseshoes, right? Not, doesn't count in this. So you got to get the exact answer. Here it is. This is a great riddle. In 1689, Britain and France were not all that fine. Each country had their own line. They fought over beer versus wine. Another time it was different. It was opium versus tea. It was China versus the Brits. In 1840, they couldn't agree. China faced humility as they could not keep a stand. Britain was given Hong Kong and the transfer of that land. Today is not much different than all that was before. Many just want this to cease, to stop, and close the door. The agreement between us and China still going to take some time. Neither party giving in to go across the line. Citizens, jobs, and companies, all of them suffer the cost, while stocks get affected too, and suffering at great loss. Yet trade, diplomacy, and dignity are still the things of old. The only thing that is different today is now you need some gold. What am I? So this is describing something, all right? A historical thing. It's describing it through this riddle. And if you know the answer, I want to give it a shot. First caller with the correct answer will win the Morgan Silver Dollar, which is a beautiful silver dollar. We say a dollar, but it's actually worth about $32 because, you know, precious gold, precious metals are actually worth something. So give David's team a call, 844-879-8882. That's the number you want to call if you want to take a shot at it. And answer that question, what am I? What is this riddle describing has happened in these various places in various times? Got to have the exact answer, though. 844-879-8882. 844-879-8882. And I'll read it again here in a couple of minutes, but I want to dive into some of our topics here today. So we've got a lot of things going on. Stocks are down today. The tariffs were put in place yesterday. So tell us what's happening with all of that, with the stocks and their reaction and the tariffs.
Well, the Dow closed down 285 points today, Steve. Officials rejected China's request to delay tariffs on the 1st of September. So on Sunday, it all escalated. $112 billion of tariffs were put on Chinese imports at midnight. And 1 minute later, China obviously was prepared for this. They retaliated with a total trade of $75 billion on U.S. goods like bicycles, bicycle tires, pork liver, and sweet corn. So this is a challenge, and China retaliated with a verbiage saying that the United States should learn how to behave like responsible global powers and stop acting like a school child bully. So just the gap is getting wider, and, you know, bonds plunged after that, and we also see a manufacturing problem that came out that was the weakest in 10 years, what you call the ISM manufacturing and the PMI. The ISM is the Institute for Money, Institute for Supply Management, which is 300 manufacturing, I talk for a living, manufacturing firms across the United States, and that production level plunged from month to month, which means our economy is slowing. And the other one, the PMI, is the Purchasing Managers Index. In other words, what CFOs or purchasing managers are saying for the top 400 companies of the United States over 19 different industries, and they're all showing that we're not going to buy near as much. So here's two factors that are very major that says we're headed closer to a recession. Another one strikes the dust, as they say.
So when you mention manufacturing, and is anybody arguing anymore that the economy is definitely slowing down?
You know, there's a few cheerleaders, unfortunately. You always have that. You know,
including the president.
I don't want the economy slow, but there's a few of them. There's on CNBC, they're saying we see no data. You know, here's the problem. Ignore the number one thing. Ignore the economy slowing. Ignore that investors are pulling their money out of the stock market. We'll talk about Warren Buffett a little bit later on in your program in an article you sent me. Ignore that the number one indicator, the 2-year to 10-year yield inverts. I mean, it's the same verbiage we heard before in 2007. Yeah. Ignore these warning signs. Get engaged. And you know, I'd rather prepare too early than 2 days too late. You know, sure. 2 years too early than 2 days too late.
So do you think this coming environment, which there's a lot of signposts pointing to it, is going to be a real challenge for stocks? I mean, we had the Trump bump, then that kind of stopped. And then last year was just crazy all over the map. And then this year it started to look good. But then it's, you know, then we've gotten hammered several times in the last, gosh, just the last few weeks. So what's the stock market looking like as the economy slows and as recession starts to appear on the horizon?
Well, first of all, you know, we have very two strong leaders, and the trade between China and us is likely going to get worse, Steve, not better. You know, now they're calling, now China's calling the United States names, and so they've never done that prior to just recently. So, but you know, how this is playing out is there's emerging markets that are like the Lipitor's Emerging Market Fund, which is a big fund. It's has a negative outflow of $10.2 billion here the first quarter. We're starting to see the outflow of funds, the largest we've seen since 2007. Profit margins on corporate profit is at the lowest level since 2010. We're starting to see China is, you know, still wanting to make a deal. In fact, they passed a law in March of this year to say, March 15th, saying, you know, we're going to stop technology transfer. But it wasn't enough for the Trump administration to say that's a good deal. So others are pulling money out of the market. Warren Buffett, the article you sent me, he's stockpiling cash, the largest ever since 1987. So it's $122 billion, which is 50%, over 50% of his portfolio is now in cash, not in stock. So that should tell us.
So Warren Buffett is a huge money manager, right? Is that the right terminology? So he's now he's moved about 50% of that entire portfolio. He's moved into cash.
So think about that.
That's
why would
crazy.
Warren Buffett, who loves stocks, hate?
Right.
He says cash is the worst place to put your money. Why would he do that?
Yeah, well, he's obviously not an idiot. Otherwise, he wouldn't have that kind of money to work with.
So what's happening is the big money. In fact, I got another report on it that just says big money is pulling out of the market. Mm-hmm. It's not just Warren Buffett. Big money is pulling out of the market. Barron's Magazine just had an article 2 weeks ago. So the big money is pulling out of the market, and the small investor, who's not a millionaire or slightly a millionaire, is piling into the market. So that's what's supporting this market. But, you know, the billionaires are seeing the warning signs.
Oh,
they're getting ready for a correction.
Well, they're paying a lot more attention than the average person. We're talking to David Fisher with Landmark Capital today on a Full Money Monday. When I come back, I'll give you the riddle again. We'll try to get some more winners. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today. The website is always thestevenobleshow.com, thestevenobleshow.com, or you can join us on Facebook. Actually, Facebook Live in the studio right now, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And that's just on the Steve Noble Show on Facebook, which you might already be looking at your Facebook feed, so it shouldn't be too difficult for you to get over there. Just search it if you've never liked the page before. Just get there, like the page, and then you can join us here on Facebook Live. Talking to our good friend David Fisher today from Landmark Capital, doing a Full Money Monday, so we have a lot of different financial issues to deal with and to yet get to. We're going to talk about the Fed and rates. And the Fed's quote-unquote new tool that could take us closer to a bail-in, which has happened in several other countries around the world. Very, very alarming. That's why we keep talking about that, because that's a possibility here in America, especially as things get worse and especially as our debt gets worse, which it continues to skyrocket. You may love Donald Trump, and I appreciate a lot that he's done, but he's got no fiscal responsibility right now along with Congress. And so we'll be up over approaching about $1 trillion just in a yearly budget deficit, adding on to our overall debt of $22 trillion and climbing. So we have this riddle that David wrote, and when we've done this before, he's giving away a beautiful Morgan silver dollar, which is worth about $32. You're not going to run into one going to Home Depot or whatever. It's a beautiful coin. So if you know the answer, the specific answer, and you call in, you can win that. First one with the right answer wins the coin. And here's the riddle. I'll read this to you one more time. This is describing something, okay? In 1689, Britain and France were not all that fine. Each country had their own line. They fought over beer versus wine. Another time it was different. It was opium versus tea. It was China versus the Brits. In 1840, they couldn't agree. China faced humility as they could not keep a stand. Britain was given Hong Kong and the transfer of that land. Today is not much different than all that was before. Many just want this to cease, to stop, and close the door. So the question is, what is this? What's it describing? The agreement between us and China still going to take some time. Neither party giving in to go across the line. Citizens, jobs, and companies, all of them suffer the cost, while stocks get affected too, and suffering at great loss. Yet trade, diplomacy, and dignity are still the things of old. The only thing that is different today is now you need some gold. What am I? So there's a specific answer to this. First one with the right answer wins the silver coin. 844-879-8882 from our good friend David Fisher at Landmark Capital. 844-879-8882. First person with the right answer wins the coin today. So let's jump over to our good friends, quote-unquote, at the Fed We know that Trump wants them to lower rates. We know there's a lot of pressure there. So what do you think they're going to do? Do you think they'll actually continue to lower the rates? Because there's not a whole lot of room left to go.
Well, there's 2.25% is where we're at right now, Steve. There's 90% chance that this month the Fed could lower the rates to 25%. Some say that's not going to be enough. They need to do more like 50 basis points. And then in December, there's 48% chance of another quarter point. Some say there's a wild card in between those months of another quarter point. But most believe that the Fed should lower rates. And obviously, Europe, ECB, the European Central Bank, and Japan are negative rates. In other words, if you put money in the bank, you're being charged to have your money in a bank. The ECB is at 0.4%, so it's almost a half a point. And Japan is something similar. They're both in recessions, and Germany just announced this morning that they're headed to a recession. That's the financial stability in Europe. So what's happening is they're dragging us into a lower interest rate environment. It's the worst thing we could actually do. Literally, we should wait till a recession to start lower rates. And that's what the Fed really is. Their mandate is full employment looking at price stability. So because we're having these wild stock market swings due to the tariffs and the uncertainty of China, the Fed might interpret that as, hey, let's bring stability to the market by lowering rates. It's not going to bring any stability until we have an agreement with right. China, and that's not going to happen. I said a year ago, it's not going to happen for at least a year, and I think we're another year away. I mean, it's not going to happen even closely, remotely. We're farther away now than then. So the Fed, if they start this process, and they usually do, Steve, once they start lowering rates, they continue in lowering rates. They don't hiccup and go back the other direction or just do one rate cut and stop. So if they follow the history of this,
yeah,
we're going to see low interest rate environment. In fact, there's a lot of people talking about a negative interest rate environment in the United States. That would be horrendous to the stock market. It would be horrendous to our financial stability in the United States, and it would cause all kinds of problems,
yeah,
especially in assets that are retirement. So it's not a good way of going, but I think that's where we're going to go, and I think they're going to start more quantitative easing. They're going to pull out the stops. This is just completely insanity. If anything, we should be raising rates in this environment and not these lowering rates, I'll leave you with this thought on this topic, these lowering rates are causing the inversion, the number one thing that says we're headed to recession, and is causing uncertainty when they think it should solve the certainty. The problem is this was all started by central banks, and central banks are going to try and fix it and create another problem. Same thing with the government. They're going to try and fix it by creating more debt. It's just for perpetual insanity is what it really is.
Well, plus we're in a situation now because they've never had to deal with a president like Trump before, or this ongoing conversation, if you want to call it that, between America and China. And you've got President Xi, who's got plenty of ego, and you've got Donald Trump, who has plenty of ego. And Donald Trump says one thing, just like he did a couple weeks ago, and the market tumbles 600 points in a day. I mean, it's amazing the volatility there. And the Fed monkeying around with the interest rate isn't going to affect Donald Trump. All he's going to do is complain that they're not doing it faster. So they're in totally uncharted water here just because of Trump and China.
We've never had $15 trillion negative interest rates. We've never had $12 trillion of global QE out there still that needs to be serviced. We've never had a $980 billion, call it $1 trillion of overspending or budget deficit,
yeah,
in the United States. We've never had a lot of these things, and yet we shouldn't be lowering rates to make money cheap and put it in the system at cheap levels again. That's the worst thing to do. But that's what our president wants, and that's what many people on Wall Street are saying, because it's going to, quote, save the market. Yeah, it's a short-term fix. It's a drug addict getting his shot
right,
of his injection, but he needs to withdraw from the drug and get off the drug, not be dependent and get more drug. And that's when the drug addict finally gets the bull taken away, and that will happen when they can't lower rates anymore.
Sure.
That's when the big problem will happen. We're just buying more time, and then we're making the problem bigger.
Yeah, it's really amazing to watch it happen. So when it comes to this, you mentioned QE, quantitative easing. Do you think we would actually do that again? Just print off a bunch more money here in America and flood the market with that?
At some point, they got to stabilize, they got to support the economic downturn. How do you support an economic downturn? You lower rates and you print money and make money cheap. So just lowering rates might not fix the problem, quote, of supporting the economy. Because at some point, the consumer, and they're showing early signs that it's going to back away from buying it near as much, and that's starting to show up now in the data that the consumer doesn't actually want to be left holding the bag of the economy. So when the consumer says, I'm out, and that's going to come, then the government or the Fed has to step in and saying, we're going to fix it this way. So the Fed fixes it by lowering interest rate. But just lowering rates might not be enough, and usually it's not.
Yeah.
You obviously, if it worked that way, we would have kept lowered rates, but it wasn't enough. So that's why they got to inject cheap money into the system. They might not, quote, call it QE, but they're going to do the same action. They'll just might label it a different title.
Yeah, it's crazy.
When it all boils down to simplicity, it's a bad deal.
Now, bail-in, we've talked about this before, and this has happened in other countries, so this is not something that David or anybody else is making up. This has actually happened in other countries. But the Fed getting involved and having a quote-unquote new tool for a bail-in, let's talk about that. We'll probably hit the break, and then we'll finish up that conversation on the other side, then we'll talk about what's going on with gold. But talk about the Fed and this kind of new bail-in tool that they have.
Yeah, it's a mouthful of marbles. It's actually called the Counter-Cyclical Capital Buffer. Say that three times really fast. It's intended to protect the banking system, Steve, that requires more capital on the banking side of the thing against systemic risk by them having enough funds on account. But this goes all the way back to 1929, where this actually the foundation was started when they created in 1930 as the aftermath of 29. They created a Bank of International Settlements. 10 countries came together, and that's where we started these 10 central banks. So the United States was at the core center of this. But in 1974, the group expanded to a bunch of governors and about 145 members comprised of this. And they wrote three white papers called Basel 1, 2, and 3. The reason why it's Basel is because it was this whole thing was started in 1930 in Basel, Switzerland. So they wrote three white papers called Basel 1, 2, and 3. Basel 1 came out in 1992 and said all banks have to be fully capitalized of having 8% on deposit. Basel 2 came out in 2004 saying, you know, we're going to expand that not just to cash on banks, but we're also going to expand this oversight into other, quote, capital instruments, including shareholders. That's the verbiage from Basel 2. So this means stocks now that the Fed has oversight in.
Yeah. Hold that thought. We're coming up on the break. We're talking to David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com, about what's going on with this bail-in, what that could look like, and then we'll roll out of that in the final segment and talk about what's going on in the gold market and look at a little bit of a summary of the environment and the future and all of that. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show with Dave Fisher. We'll be right back. Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. We're here with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com, talking about all kinds of issues today with respect to the economy and the Fed and the banking system and what's going on with our debt. And we're talking about something that we've been talking about for a couple years, just to keep it on the table, keep it in the conversation, because it's a very real threat here in America. It's called a bail-in. It's happened in several other countries around the world. Literally, I mean, the worst case was it Greece? Was that the worst, the most grievous case? Was it Greece?
Well, they did it three times, so I guess the amount was the worst. Cyprus was pretty bad. Their whole banking system shut down globally, you know, countrywide.
And that's so when the government, a bail-in, generally the government comes in, and instead of the government bailing out GM, the government uses our money to bail itself out. That's essentially what a bail-in is.
Yeah. Nobody comes to the rescue, and that's what happens. You have to go internal.
Yeah, you go internal to your own people, which is exactly what's happened in several other countries around the world. And it's not out of the realm of possibility here in America, especially as our debt structure and everything else and the Fed monkeying around with everything. As it gets worse and gets more complicated, it's like a big pile of Jenga blocks, and you just keep pulling one block at a time. Sooner or later, it simply cannot support itself. That's why this is so scary. We were talking through some things that have been put in place here in America over the last few decades, really, with respect to the bail-in. And David, you mentioned Basel 1 and Basel 2. These are different things that have been put into effect. And then we were talking about Basel 3. So what was that about?
Basel 3 is the full encumbrance of the bail-in. that the Fed now has oversight, and that is implemented here in 2008 or 2009, published after Lehman Brothers fell apart in 2008. It encompasses all equity instruments, I'm reading from the Basel III, that have discretionary dividends with no maturity, also comprises securities that have no maturity and their dividends that can be canceled at any time. Any capital that consists of unsecured debt with the original maturity of at least 5 years. So let's bring this down to simplicity. Stocks, bonds, mutual funds, annuities, treasuries, corporate bonds. Now the Fed has jurisdiction over all of that. And in they implemented these guidelines in 2015, and or excuse me, 2013, July 9th. But in 2015, the Bank of International Settlements required all members, which is the majority of the world, to implement these practices. Otherwise, you cannot be a member of the Bank of International Settlements. So the bail-in's now been set up by the Fed. The government already set it up through Dodd-Frank in 2010 by seizing your money electronically. That's how this happens. They don't come knock on your door. So this is why it's imperative to get some money, especially now, diversified into precious metals, and it just happens to be the number one asset that's growing in value because central banks are buying it aggressively.
Yeah, and so, and again, we mentioned this earlier, but I sent David an article last week that I saw that was just shocking to me because Warren Buffett and his entire empire was up at around 50% in cash, which the guy loves stocks. That's how he's made his money all these decades. But now all of a sudden he's got 50%, at least it was north of 40% in cash, which is just a shocking reality.
You know, you have to ask yourself, why is the number one investor of the world, Warren Buffett, who hates cash and says cash is the worst place to be, has over half his money in cash now? It's because he sees the recession coming. He sees the problem. And billionaires just like him, like Stanley Druckenmiller and Ray Dalio, Seth Klarman, Scott Minard, Mark Mopius, all these billionaires who run big hedge funds are saying two things: get some gold and get some money out of the market, because the debt levels of the world and the United States is unprecedented, and it's all going to come to a halt here sometime in the near future where we're going to have a major problem. So this is why you got to get some money out of the market and get some money towards gold, because you can roll over your 401k, Steve, your IRA, buy physical gold, take possession of it, and if they flip the switch, which they have to do something because the government can't bail themselves out, the Fed can't bail them out, and foreigners aren't going to come to the U.S. to rescue them. So this is where the citizens of America, that's what the bail-in is. It's a tax implementation on their financial assets. They come and seize it. That's why if you roll over your 401k, your IRA, put some money into gold, take possession of it, when they flip the switch electronically to seize your money, you don't have 100% of your money susceptible. And on top of that, gold is rallying. I said that on your program.
Yeah, so what's it been doing this year? I mean, we're into September now.
Gold's up 1.25% just today. It's up 28% since I announced on your program a year ago we were in a bull market. It's outperformed stocks at a 2-to-1 ratio and sometimes by index to index. And the reason is it's quite simple. Central banks are the drivers of gold. They bought more gold last year than any year over a 50-year period of time, and they're on pace to outperform the buying of this year compared to last year. Why? Because they look 1 to 5 years into the future, and they're saying if by their actions of behavior, by purchases of gold, they're saying a financial turmoil is coming. So if the big money of the world is saying, get some cash, get out of the market, buy some gold, Warren Buffett, central banks, all these other billionaires, I think it's fair to say that the small retail investor, who has not really woken up yet to the fact, should ignore their financial planner to a certain extent and say, I got to go to cash. Because if they listen to 100%, I'm not against financial planners, but 98% of them said stay in the market last time. That's the problem. You don't want to stay 100% in this market.
Well, this is always a matter of balance, right? I mean, I don't want anybody to think, hey, don't ever have stocks, don't ever have mutual funds. It's a matter of balance and dispersion. And again, we're talking about sometimes I use the teeter-totter and on one end, if you have all stocks, you don't have anything to balance that out. On the other end, you got a problem. I like the new word picture I came up with a couple of weeks ago about the big sailboat. It's got a big sail up. The winds are crazy. What keeps it from tipping over? That's the keel underneath the boat. You got to have a balance there.
This storm that we're in is just going to magnify from here. I mean, we've had horrendous storms here on our country that has affected us in the Caribbean. This is a synopsis of where we're going financially. The storm is just horrendous where we're going financially. And I'd rather be buttoned down the hatches 2 years too early than 2 days too late, because a bail-in will be forced to go into effect this time. Because, like I said, the government and the Fed can't bail this thing out now, because the Fed's $3.9 trillion of indebtedness and they're only $880 billion on their books in 2007. They had the ability to leverage their money and do that. This time they don't. And neither can the government. They're $22.5 trillion, which had a budget deficit of almost $1 trillion, and they were $8 trillion back then and $340 billion of budget deficit. So it's a completely different picture, to the degree that the deficit and the debts are as high as the degree that the severity will be the opposite reaction. Governments and central banks this time will not be able to fix the problem.
So are we just a couple of paranoid Chicken Littles? And
no, we're one to two paragraphs away from a major change. All it takes is one major liquidity crisis. That's what's going to happen next. Where all of a sudden money gets tied up and we deal in a short-term liquidity, and then it starts to domino. They haven't changed the financial system. We're still systemic. I mean, all the financial industry is tied in together. If it wasn't so, what goes on in China affects us today. Yeah. What goes on in Europe affects us today. And what we do affects them. So we're still a systemic global risk. And that's the problem. We haven't decoupled, and we can't decouple in time. So that's why we're headed this direction.
So, yeah. So we're talking about sober-mindedness and awareness and not acting like there's nothing wrong, because there's all
Correct.
Kinds of indicators that there's things wrong. And so you got to it's just like with Hurricane Dorian going on right now. You see something on the horizon, you got to shore up your defenses and be ready.
The sky is not falling. The dollar's not going to crash. You're not going to go to the grocery store with your gold and silver. It's not that type of environment. We're going to see a change. There's going to be a recession. Yeah. The stock markets are going to correct. Gold is going to rally. The same thing, just maybe greater than 2008. Prepare for it. That's all. It's going to be different. It's going to be triggered not by real estate like last time.
Yeah.
It's going to be triggered by something much bigger. Central banks and governments not being able to financier their debt. And that's where this is going. And when that happens, that's the core of our system, and that's why you're going to see bigger changes coming.
And because we have such an international system now, it may not that ripple may not originate in America, but it can certainly get here. It could be Europe, it could be Asia, it could be whatever.
There's $22 trillion of expanded monetary system, 22.5 just out of China that they created since 07.
Yeah.
We've created like 4 trillion. So they're 5 times as much leverage as we are. This could get triggered in China.
Yeah.
I mean, the report just came out here a week ago. So that it might not be the United States, but it's like we're all on the same block.
Sure.
Whatever the worst house on the block goes under through default affects the rest of the neighborhood. We're all tied in together.
Everything's tied in together. So best ways for people to get educated and start considering these things, whether it's the bail-in or just understanding the role of precious metals. What are some resources that you can share?
Well, we got some white papers on the bail-in. It's really simple. You can Google it. Fox News did an excerpt on it. The government has websites on this. The Fed talks about it on their website. They can get it by calling 844-879-8882. They also can get another information packet with that about gold and why it's moving. Or they can go to our website at landmarkgold.com.
And we did have a winner today, right? So we were able to get that silver Morgan dollar out the door. That's going to be going out to some. Do you have that information, David?
I do have it, but it's right here. I can share it with you. He did not want his name.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, praise the Lord that he won.
His first name is Mark, and he's out of North Carolina.
Okay, so Mark in North Carolina. There's more than one Mark in North Carolina. I know several of them myself. So
I know that sounds vague, but
no, that's good enough. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Mark, for calling in and playing along. Congratulations on that. And I really appreciate that. Whenever you do something like that, David, it's really generous of you, and we appreciate it. LandmarkGold.com, as always, is the website where this information attention is important, and it can have, if we're not paying attention, just like with Dorian out there, if you're not paying attention, it can have devastating effects. So we need to shore up our defenses and be ready when these things come. 844-879-8882 is David's phone number, or landmarkgold.com. Stick around with us if you want to join us on Facebook Live here as the show ends. We're going to pray for the people being affected by the hurricane. David, thanks so much for being with us again today, my brother. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Okay, friends, God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.